And joining us now is the voice of the Buffalo Bills. He also hosts a daily radio show, a nightly radio show, very similar to this one, my good friend John Murphy. He hosts that in Buffalo on WGR. You can listen to it there, and you can catch all his work on the Buffalo Bills website. Murph, how you doing, man?
Hello, Vic.
great to have
isn't
you.
That what we used to, wasn't that our Kay Stevenson imitation?
That was. Years ago, and we covered that head coach of the Bills, one of many head coaches we covered of the Bills. That was his opening line. Hello. Well, hello to you, and let's talk about this Bills team, John, whose world changed. I mean, over in Cleveland, the talk is how dramatically improved the Browns' offense, particularly the two key rookies of this offense, the quarterback Brandon Whedon and Trent Richardson, were from week one to week two. For the Bills, it was the whole team that played a different game against the Jets in the opener, a real ugly, embarrassing loss to an impressive landslide win over the Chiefs in week two. What happened in 1 week?
You know, I think the biggest thing, Vic, was the turnovers. The turnovers were a big issue in the Jets game, and they fell behind early. The Bills were down 21-0 at the drop of a hat. They had an interception that was returned for a touchdown. They had a punt return for a touchdown against them by the Jets. And, you know, it got away quickly. They were forced to play catch-up. And, you know, as our mutual pal Marv Levy used to say, the turnovers have a way of magnifying the defeats, which is not to say the Bills were the better team. They were not. They did not play well at all against the Jets. Ryan Fitzpatrick did not have a good game that day. And things turned around when they protected the ball a little bit better last Sunday against Kansas City. Things went a lot smoother for them. So it was pretty dramatic from one game to the next.
Let's talk about Ryan Fitzpatrick, because the quarterback, after an impressive start to the 2011 season, gets a long-term contract, and really the sense within the team, and I guess within the community, was they found their guy, maybe finally, their first guy solidly at quarterback since Jim Kelly. And it's really been uneven since that point, since like through the second half of last season, and he struggled mightily in that Jets game. And I know right off the bat he didn't have a good start to the Chiefs game, and the crowd in Buffalo was all over him.
Yeah, it was tough to watch. People do point to that part of the, you know, midseason last year, and Ryan did get the contract about 2 days before the Bills shut out the Redskins up in Toronto. I don't think the contract has a lot to do with it. First of all, he's paid like a middle caliber quarterback in the league is paid. So, and I think that's about right for him right now. I think that's where he deserves to be paid. Last season, things fell apart when they got injured. They lost Fred Jackson. They lost Eric Wood. Ryan took a shot in the ribs in the Redskins game that affected his play. The injuries began to mount for them last year, and that's when things fell apart and they suffered a 7-game losing streak. This year, a little tougher to figure. He just came out throwing it inaccurately against the Jets, and that continued early on against Kansas City last week. I have detected in the first two games, and you hate to lock on to trends from just a two games worth of evidence. However, it seems to me like Ryan is throwing the ball better as the games move along, a little bit later and deeper into the games than he was at the beginning. I'm sure that's a trend that he would like to break. But what he does have is total command of this offense, total really respect in the locker room as far as leadership, as the unquestioned leader of the team, if not just the offense. And I think that goes a long way in Chan Gailey's mind. They feel pretty good about their offense, mostly because they've all been here now for the 3 years of Chan Gailey's tenure, and they all feel pretty good about, you know, their working knowledge of the offense, and that goes to every unit on the offensive side of the ball.
And John, as you look at their running game, CJ Spiller, so impressive, 292 yards leading the league after 2 weeks, a huge game against the Chiefs, and an impressive work, maybe albeit in garbage time, against the Jets. But he steps in there for the injured Fred Jackson, who gets hurt in that Jets game, and a lot of people thought the running game was in trouble, but Spiller seems to have come into his own.
Yeah, he has. CJ has matured as a player, as a man. He's a little bigger than he was a couple of years ago, and he's getting the opportunity to show what he can do. Wait till you see him, Vic. He's a much more patient runner than he was coming out of Clemson a couple of years ago. You know, he used to just try to fly through the holes and try to outrun everybody. Now you see him setting up blocks, and you see him sort of just taking his time and picking his way through holes and really letting his offensive line do some of the work. Eric Wood, who's a pretty good center for the Bills, made a good point when I was talking to him on Monday of this week about, you know, the change in CJ. And he said, you know, now that he's getting all those reps and now that Fred Jackson is out, CJ can afford to be a little more patient. You know, he doesn't feel like he has to hit a home run every time he gets the ball in his hands. He can wait and let blocks develop, let holes open up, and settle for a 6-yard gain or even an 8-yard gain as opposed to trying to take it to the house every time he touches the ball.
John Murphy, the voice of the Bills, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, as we talk about Sunday's matchup between the Browns and Bills at Cleveland Browns Stadium. John, on the defensive side of the ball, where the Bills really put the bulk of their concentration and money this offseason, the headline-grabbing signing of Mario Williams, and then as a defensive end from Houston, and then complementing that with the addition of Mark Anderson, you have Kyle Williams there, Marcell Dareus is in the middle, so it really looks like a formidable line that got shut out in the first game against the Jets sack-wise, because the thought would be they'd pile those numbers up, but I guess more in line with what we expected, 5 sacks against the Chiefs.
Yeah, and, you know, sacks usually come when you're playing from ahead and the other team has to pass to catch up, but they did play much better against Kansas City. Kyle Williams has really been outstanding through the first two games and even into the preseason. He's another one that they lost to injury fairly early last season, who came back this year strong. His foot is healthy, and he really, I think he's one of the best defenders in the league right now. They all benefit from having, you know, the outside speed rushers, Mario Williams and Mark Anderson. I mean, they got a big play from their backups. They have a pretty healthy rotation going on the defensive line, and last week it was a backup guy, Alex Carrington, who forced a fumble that Mario Williams recovered, but the three of the four guys who made that play were all backups. So they rotate them through there. They're getting pretty good production from Kyle Williams, especially. Marcell Dareus has played well through the first few games. I think that really is going to emerge as one of the strengths of this Bills team, that defensive front, and it should, for the money they've invested in it.
And you talk about that and the rotation and everything else, John. Would it stand to reason that this defense, now they get to face a rookie in week 3 in Brandon Whedon? I would guess the feeling around there is, hey, they can do a lot to make life tough on the young, although he's an older rookie, but he's still a rookie.
Yeah, you know, they'll try to disguise things and confuse him. I think to a man, and, you know, just going around the locker room this week talking to some of the Bills defensive players, they all mentioned the really dramatic improvement from week 1 to week 2 on the part of Brandon Whedon and how impressed they were with that. I think they're also, they have a healthy dose of respect for the way the ball's coming out. You know, he's not setting up there deep in the pocket and waiting downfield. You know, he's getting the ball out on time, which, as you know, will really kind of negate any kind of pass rush you can get. So, yeah, he's a rookie, but I think there's respect for that rookie quarterback in the Buffalo locker room.
And, of course, there's a rookie running back on this team named Trent Richardson, who had an extremely impressive outing at Cincinnati last week. And you, I'm sure you've seen the highlights of it by now, John. But the challenge of dealing with him, and how do you see Dave Wannstedt, the defensive coordinator of the Bills, handling that? And talk about that whole kind of front seven and what are the strengths there to deal with his talents.
Yeah, I mean, they have been pretty tough against the run, and they've done a pretty good job of run defense for the first few weeks. They're all talking about the power that they see from Trent Richardson, you know, a powerful running back. All of them, Chan Gailey, Wannstedt, who I talked to earlier this week, defensive players in the locker room, they all talk about what a powerful, compact, powerful man that he is. Kelvin Shepard, who's a second-year middle linebacker for the Bills, now a starter, plays, you know, on first and second downs anyway, had encounters with Richardson in their old SEC days. Kelvin Shepard played at LSU, obviously, so he has utmost respect for Trent Richardson. Talked about him today as, you know, the best running back in the game already after just 2 games, so they know what they're up against. I'm sure the Bills will try to stack the box and probably try to, you know, make the rookie quarterback beat them downfield.
And, John, again, when a 1-1 team is facing an 0-2 team, it's not exactly, maybe this is the right conversation for it, but we know what the Patriots are to the Bills in terms of rivalry, as the Steelers are to the Browns and so forth, but they are the team that the Bills have up after they face the Browns. Is there any thought that this might be kind of a trap game, you know, a young 0-2 Browns team in between that game with the Patriots?
Boy, I mean, I look forward to the day when the Bills can afford to have a trap game. I don't think they're there yet, Vic.
No.
There was I mean, 2 years ago, 8-game losing streak to start the season. Last year, a 7-game losing streak. They're 1-1. I mean, they can't afford to look by anybody. I think the Bills, and I include the Browns in this too, I think there's a pack of teams. What is it, 20 teams are now 1-1 in the league, like a record after the first 2 weeks?
Yeah.
I think the Bills and Browns both belong in that middle group of teams. They're not the worst. They're not the best. But if things break their way and they stay stay healthy, they could contend for a playoff spot. And I think the Bills have a pretty good sense of that's where they are in the league. They're not looking by anybody, not yet anyway.
Great stuff, Murph. I'm too bad about that answer. I was hoping they would, but okay. Anyway, hey, great, and we look forward to seeing you this weekend, brother.
All right, thanks a lot, Vic.
He is John Murphy, the voice of the Bills, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, and much more is coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.